We're actually, as you can tell, we're taking Lord's Supper this morning, but as part of all that, I want to wrap up our Crafted by God series, and we're going to be in Genesis 1, we're going to be in Matthew 28, we are going to be all over the place today, so I hope that you're ready to start flipping some pages in your Bible, because we're doing a lot of it today. But while you're turning to Genesis 1, which, if you don't know where to find that, go to page 1 of your Bible. Woohoo! Nice and easy, right? But while you're doing that, we do want to remind you that we are taking up our Fall Invest right now, that our Fall Invest is going all for Texas missions. And honestly, you know, we have a $3,000 goal, and we have 5 weeks in October. This is week one. We are going through the end of October, correct? Rusty, Lori, that is correct. We're going through the end of October. Okay, yes, we are going through the end of October. And frankly, we are a long, long ways away from our $3,000 goal. So we hope that you'll pray about what you should give. I hope that you'll support it. Everything's going towards four different things. We're doing the Mary Hill Davis for Texas Missions through our state convention here. We're also doing Texas Baptist Bend, the Disaster Relief. We're doing the Texas Baptist Hunger Fund. And we're also doing Hope Home Ministry as well. Ministries that are touching and changing lives every single day, and they could use our financial support. So please give, please help and support our invest, and you'll be hearing more about it over the next few weeks as we kind of start looking to wrap it up here at the end of October. So, Rusty, that good? We cover it? Okay, we're good. Rusty's like, I wasn't paying attention anyway, so I'm going to go with yes. Yeah, that's right. He's like, oh, it was perfect. It was great. But today, you know, we've been doing, this is our sixth week in this Crafted by God series. This is week six of it. We start off the first week talking about how God crafted this universe, how God created this earth. We looked in week two about how we were created to bear his image, how we were created to be the image bearers of God that would go forth, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, all that kind of thing. We looked in week three about how Jesus, from incidentally the verses that you see listed up on the screen in the bottom right, how Jesus then says in Matthew 28, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go forth and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them, all of this sort of thing, which we're going to talk about a little bit more this morning. And we've talked about how sin kind of messed everything up. And as we kind of bring all this in for a landing here today, I want to talk about one issue here, and we don't have a whole lot of time because we are doing Lord's Supper, but it does kind of tie in with this. And I think it's a big deal because it's all about authority. It's all about the right to do something. Now, notice this. The first thing that we see God tell people in the book of Genesis is here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. And we're going to put that up there on the screen so you can see it, so that you can read it along with me here. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. Did you catch what they're supposed to do? Rule, right? Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Notice once again what they're supposed to do. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. You kind of catch this picture here from it. Because this commandment, this thing that God told them to do, was passing the authority from God, who had the authority over all that. And now he's telling Adam and Eve and mankind, the image bearers of God, you have the authority to go and rule over this earth. You are the stewards. You're the ones who are responsible for this. You kind of catch this picture here? This right here is foundational to everything else we're going to be talking about this morning. Because this God who has the authority everywhere, he spent the entire first part of this chapter, he's creating stars, and he's creating mountains, and he's creating whales, and even mosquitoes. And I don't understand that one. Even broccoli. Try it. But in the midst of all of this, God that creates all of this, notice what he does is he sets aside his image bearers and he goes, you guys have the authority to rule over this. Do you see this? This is a big deal. He says, I want you to have this authority. God has the authority to rule over that. And what does he do? He gave it to his image bearers. He gave it to us, to Adam and Eve. Are you with me on all that? So it's kind of an interesting thing here because there's kind of an interesting thing to think about how now, all of a sudden, the authority is resting on these two people, and what kind of rulers and what kind of people are they going to be? Are they going to be a good ruler? Are they going to be a great ruler? Or are they going to be like Kim Jong-un and just seem a little crazy, right? Are they going to, how are they going to rule? How are they going to do it? Unfortunately, you know, well, first of all, we see that God has his dominion, his authority, and he sets all that out, and it's this integral part of his plan, and he hands this authority to Adam and Eve, and then he waits. He steps back, and he waits, and he watches. And unfortunately, in Genesis, humanity tends to be more of the bad decision-making than the good decision-making, right? It's not very long that you actually see this in Genesis 3:6, and here's what happens. It says, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So what does she do? She takes some of its fruit and ate it. Incidentally, for those of you going, yeah, Eve, how'd you mess that up? Look at the rest of this here. She also gave some to her husband, who was where? With her, and he ate it. The big part to kind of catch on to this, Adam is right there for every bit of it. This wasn't Eve all of a sudden sending and then taking some to Adam and going, hey, join in with me. What it very much is a picture of is Adam and Eve sitting there and Adam going to Eve going, well, I'll do it if you do it. Is that kind of what happens here? Stick with me here for a minute. Adam and Eve, now all of a sudden Adam is giving the authority to his wife and going, well, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it too. Now, all of a sudden, this authority issue is he's letting someone else decide for him. Now, notice what, now, I want you to back up here, parts we didn't look in the story. Why did Eve do that? Who had she listened to? She listened to the serpent, who's like, is that really what God said? I mean, is that really kind of what happened? I mean, that's not really what God wants. God wants, he doesn't want you to eat from this one tree because it's going to make you like him. And then Adam and Eve start thinking it through, and they start going, yeah, okay, maybe that sounds kind of good. But I want you to catch on something here from it. Who is it that has the authority over their lives? Who is it that they listen to and giving some implicit authority to by following their advice? The serpent. Now, Adam and Eve, the image bearers of God, the ones who have been tasked with taking care of all of this, all of a sudden are making bad choices because they're no longer looking at God as the authority figure. Now they're looking at the serpent as an authority figure. You with me on all this? Now, I want you to catch something because it's a whole lot deeper than that because this didn't just affect Adam and Eve. This affected the entire earth that they have been given authority over. The entire earth is affected by this. You know how we know this? Because a little bit further on in the chapter, verse, what, 16, 17, 17, 18, it says this. This is what God says. He's to Adam, he says, the ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Notice, it's kind of an interesting thing here. God tells Adam, the entire earth is cursed because of you giving up your own authority. Do you catch this? They chose to not live up to the authority that God had shown in them, and now the ground is cursed because of them. Now there's thorns and thistles. Those originally were not part of the Garden of Eden. That wasn't part of God's plan. You know what caused that? Sin. You know what caused the sin? The giving up of the authority that we've had, and we trusted a serpent rather than our own creator who had crafted us. Now, this is a kind of a big deal here, and the one who ends up benefiting in all this is it's not Adam and Eve, it's not God. The only one who ends up benefiting, if you want to say it that way, would be the serpent, right? Satan. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Here's what it actually says. It says, you previously now lived according to the ways of the world, according to what? The ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. Now, all of a sudden, Ephesians 2, 2 says, What kind of authority does Satan have? He's a ruler of the power of the air. How about this in John? This is Jesus actually speaking about Satan. Three different things I want you to see here in John. The first is in chapter 12, verse 31. Here's what Jesus said. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the what? The ruler of this world will be cast out. Where's the authority now? It's with Satan. I will not talk with you much longer. This is chapter 14, verse 30. This is the night that Jesus is going to be arrested. And he says, I will not talk with you much longer because the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power of me. Chapter 16, verse 11, Jesus says, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now, I don't want to flatter Satan by over-exaggerating his authority here. You don't have to read very far in the Bible. Go read Job 1 and 2, and you can see that while Satan has some authority over this earth, he still is still not any bigger than God, and he still even has to go to God for permission for things, and it's important to remember all that. But I want you to understand that this authority that Satan has, being the ruler of the world, the ruler of the air, all this sort of thing, is a direct result of us taking the authority that God has given us and giving it to Satan. When we listen to him, we wiped our hands clean of that authority that God has given us. Catch this picture? Sounds a little discouraging, doesn't it? Some of you guys are going, hey, good sermon. Let's have Lord's Supper now. Let's go on, right? I say all this because I want you to understand that this is the way it was, that the battlegrounds, the Garden of Eden was this huge, huge battleground over the authority issue. There's another huge battleground over the issue of authority, and that is in Jesus, and that is in Golgotha. Now, this is the way it's been until Jesus. Now, because I want you to understand that Jesus is the one that has all authority, I want you to see this in Colossians 2. Here is my Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10 passage. Here's what it says there. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in what? In Christ. God's entire nature, the fullness of his entire nature, dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him, who is, what is Christ? The head over every ruler and every authority. It's important that you understand that Jesus is the authority, even over Satan, even over all of that. And this becomes why the temptation of Jesus becomes such a huge deal. You get to Luke chapter 4, and it's just this big deal here, because it's about showing how we tend to think of the temptation about, well, this is showing that Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully human, so he understands temptation. It's a bigger issue than just Jesus was being tempted. So much bigger than that. Look at what happens here that Satan does in chapter 4 of Luke, verses 5 through 7. It says, so he, Satan, I need to get there from it. So he took Jesus up, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you their splendor and all this what? And all this authority, because it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. How did he get that authority? Because God gave it to us, and we gave it to him, and he took it from us. And so Satan, he takes Jesus, and he takes him up there, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, says, I will give you all their splendor and all this authority, because it's been given to me, and I can give it to whoever you want. If you then will do what? Worship me. And all of this is going to be yours. I want you to understand that this temptation was about more than just Jesus showing he's human. Satan in that moment is trying to get Jesus to acknowledge he's the authority, not God. And then it's game over. That's it. But Jesus doesn't follow through with that at all. Jesus says no. He sticks to the plan, which is this plan of Calvary. And at that point, pretty much Jesus has set a time bomb that's going to go off in about 3 years. It's going to happen. And when we get to Luke chapter 22, the night that Jesus is arrested, the night that he's going to go through trials and he's going to about to be put to death, I want you to see what he does that night. Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. Then Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. And said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. Do you understand what's going on here? Jesus is submitting himself to the authority of God. Jesus is offering himself as the sacrifice for our sins. So much so that even just a couple hours later, you go down to verse 42. This is Jesus praying right before he's going to be arrested. And look at what he says in verse 42. He prays this, Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, who has all authority, is willing to die on the cross for you and for me. He's willing to offer himself as a sacrifice. So much so that he sits down with his disciples this night and he goes, this bread, this blood, is being broken, and it's being broken for you. Why? Because Jesus is about to take that authority back. That's what it's all about. Jesus is about to take that authority back, and he is about to show Satan that God is the one in control. God is the one in charge. So, you know, when we get back to this passage we looked at 3 weeks ago when we were here in this place, when we get back to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, one of the most famous scriptures in all of Scripture, notice what Jesus says. Jesus came near and said to them, all what? Authority has been what? Given to me in heaven and on earth. And he can say that and he can mean it. His death and his resurrection have changed everything. They have wrenched back that authority that Satan has over our lives, and now he has no authority over us, just whatever authority we give him. Now, Jesus provided a way for us to be saved, for us to be forgiven of our sins. Jesus takes the authority for us. And now it's just up to us to give it to him. Notice Jesus went on, he basically says all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Therefore, because he has all authority, what are you supposed to do? Go and do what? Make disciples of all nations. You know what that means? Tell them about Jesus dying for them. Tell them about how Jesus died on a cross to get back the authority that we had given away. To get back a forgiveness of sins, to get all of this stuff. And what are we supposed to do? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Show that they've changed their lives, that they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, that they've really changed, that it's not just something that they do, but it's something that they are. And what else? Teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. Be more like Jesus every single day. Teaching them what it means to be a Christian. Teaching them what it means to submit to God's authority. Teaching them everything so that they can be more like Jesus every single day. And the last thing Jesus says in Matthew that we see recorded here is he goes, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Woo! I love that. That's pretty good, isn't it? Because I want you to catch this picture here from it. God places us in authority over this earth and we blow it. Now Satan has the run of the place. He's doing all kinds of stuff. And Jesus, when he dies on the cross, when he submits himself, when his body is broken and his blood is shed, it's not just about forgiveness of sins. It's about the authority. It's about God making the way for you and for me. It's about us being able to say, God, we give you our life. We want you to be the authority in our life. We want to live our lives for you. And then do you know what you do at that point? You tell people. You go and make disciples. You baptize them. You teach them. And you remember that Jesus is with you every step of the way. That's what he came and he died for. So that Satan would have no authority over us. We now have the ability to give our authority back to Jesus and say, we're yours. Change us, mold us, and make us. And that's what this Lord's Supper is about. Did you catch the last thing Jesus said? Remember? Okay, wait, can we go back to that real quick? Remember? What did he say, remember? I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In just a few minutes, we're going to be standing down here, and we're going to be reading another scripture where Jesus said, remember. He said, every time you take this bread, every time you drink this wine, which we're going to be doing grape juice, we're good Baptists, you know. But every time we do that, do it in remembrance of him. The God who is there with us to the very end of the age, the God who is willing to even sacrifice his own son, his own life, that Jesus is like, remember what I have done for you because he loves you that much. Because he wants you to have the ability to choose. You are now back in the driver's seat. You now have the authority. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to give it over to God or are you going to live it for yourself? It's your choice. Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to die on a cross for you so that you could have that kind of a choice. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty awesome. If you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, I'm going to pray a prayer here in a minute. And you just have to silently pray along with yourself. As we take the Lord's Supper, we want to invite everybody. If you've ever asked Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, we want you to take part in this Lord's Supper with us. If you haven't asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, just like Ruth did that we got to see this morning, where is she? Where is she at? There she is. Just like Ruth stands up there and she says, I believe that Jesus died on a cross, that he rose again from the grave, and he did it because he loves me so I could be forgiven of my sins. If you've never done that, pray this prayer with me, and then after this prayer, we'll go ahead and do the Lord's Supper. So let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for everything that you have done. We thank you for providing your Son, for providing Jesus to pay the way for us, to pay the way for our sins that we could never pay ourselves. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his life. Thank you how he never sinned, but how he stayed faithful to your plan every step of the way. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. And we pray that we will give our authority back to you, that you'll be the Savior of our lives, but the Lord of our lives as well. Help us to live our lives in a way worthy of that sacrifice. Be with us, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.